Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. We are fast approaching the halfway mark of 2026, and it's been anything but a smooth ride for markets so far this year. I mean, that's an understatement and a half. But even in a pretty volatile environment, some stocks and some sectors have stood out, while others, I think it's fair to say, have struggled a bit. And that'll be a major part of our focus on today's episode of Friends with Money as we reflect on the first part of the year. But we'll also be taking a look ahead at the market outlook for the rest of 2026 as best we can. Before we get into it, though, I need to introduce our guest today. And it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back friend of the show, very much friend of the show at this point, money contributor and chief investment analyst at Wealth Within, Mr. Dale Gillam. Dale, welcome back to Friends of Money.
Oh, thanks, Tom. I've been, getting a bit withdrawal symptoms from not actually talking to you for a while. So I was listening to our podcast, the Christmas, the Stocks for Your Stockings one from December, and I went, wow, that was pretty good. So I thought, I'm looking forward to today.
It's definitely been too long, Dale. But having said that, you might be our most kind of frequent guest of all time on Friends of Money. So I might have to do the numbers there for next time. But we'll see if you are, if you've hit the number one spot. Dale, as I said, the first half of 2026 is drawing to a close. Mm. Well, I mean, we're a little bit early, but it's mostly behind us at this point. So how would you summarize how the Australian share market has performed so far this year?
It's sort of been like a tale of two stories. You know, we sort of started off all right with the first part of the year and doing okay. But this last few months, obviously since February 28, where Trump decided that he didn't like Iran, you know, the market's become a hell of a lot volatile. And, you know, currently we're seeing the All Ordinaries Index, even after yesterday's bullish move, we had a really nice move yesterday, but we're currently down 1.97% on the Australian market. But, you know, it's not broadly weak and it's not broadly strong. And I know I've spoken about this before. It's like, you know, with a lot of people talking about the US market, the US market has been bullish and they're getting excited about it. But I'm saying it's not a broad bullish move in the US. It's pretty much has been tech stocks driving the US. Whereas Australia is fairly similar because we're a very top heavy market in materials and financials. Those two sectors are almost half of our All Ordinaries Index. So if those two sectors are moving, then the All Ordinaries is moving. So, and I was only presenting to a group in New Zealand about 7 weeks ago, and I said, you can't buy the market, you can only buy the stocks. So don't look at what the market's doing. Look at what your stocks that you own are doing and whether you're going to continue to hold them or not. But looking at the broader market, we're seeing, you know, like the emerging companies is down over 6%. You know, small ordinaries are down 3.5%. So the smaller end of the market has been a lot more bearish. When we're looking at, let's say, the top 50 stocks is only down 1.33%, whereas the top 20 is down 1.91%. And as I mentioned earlier, it's about the same as the All Ordinaries Index is down 1.97%. So you can see the market's been driven by those top 20, top 50 stocks. And so that to me looks pretty good because the market's not following the news. If everybody was looking at the news, they'd be thinking the market should be crashing.
It definitely feels like that, doesn't it? There's a lot of doom and gloom out there. So, as you mentioned before, Dale, part of that is due to, you know, this ongoing crisis, war, conflict, whatever you want to call it in Iran. But aside from that, are there any other kind of, you know, larger factors that have been kind of influencing things so far this year? Inflation, interest rates, the recent federal budget, anything that's kind of shifting things at all?
All of those, you know, obviously people are worried about, you know, we've got that cost of living crisis that keeps popping its head up and it has done for quite a while. And I've been saying for a long time that Australia has actually been in a recession for quite a while because outside of the immigration coming through, we would have definitely been in a technical recession, whereas we've been staying out of that technically for the last few years. But interest rates have been, you know, really hot on people's lips for quite a while. And we've seen interest rates go up in the last RBA meeting because CPI is way above where the RBA needs them to, between 2 and 3%. We're over 4% now. Obviously, we pushed up 4% because of the Iran-US conflict. But, you know, to me, again, we still have to buy stocks, but inflation is a real, real concern for the RBA and getting that under control. And they've already said interest rates are going to go up again. So I know some of the banks like ANZ are expecting 2, maybe 3 more interest rate rises. Mm. And all of those might be around 25 basis points or a quarter of a percent. But some of the other things that are concerning is China, because obviously they're a big trading partner with Australia. So with our resources and commodities, iron ore, et cetera. So to me, that's one thing that is affecting the market. That's not working and we're not exporting as much, then that is affecting our economy. And obviously the geopolitical stuff that we're talking about, and housing, huge, is about that. But I want to talk a little bit about, whilst economics, you know, are there in the marketplace, it's really our investor psychology that drives the market. You know, our fear and greed, that, or our investor behavior, because we're buying and selling those stocks. And right now there's a lot of uncertainty in the market. And that uncertainty means our market is really, what it has been doing is pretty much going sideways for quite a few months. And so, I mean, that's what's sort of driving in the market at the moment. But it also means there's a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines. So when this Iran-US conflict settles itself a little bit, I think our market's going to go very much bullish.
Well, we'll see what happens if and when that does happen. I'd love a crystal ball to know when that conflict might draw to an end, because we seem to have releases almost every second day signaling peace talks and agreements or whatnot. So we'll just have to wait and see. Dale, let's get into some specific things, because I think that's probably the really interesting bit for a lot of people beyond the kind of the broader market performance. So have there been, I guess, any genuine standout performance so far this year, you know, whether that's individual sectors or individual stocks that you'd like to kind of highlight?
Oh, look, absolutely. Materials has been the standout for the year. I mean, materials currently is up 2.49%. Real estate's just in the green. All the rest of the sectors, there's about 9 sectors in their market. The rest of them are in what they call red territory, with healthcare being the worst. And healthcare is CSL and Cochlear. We can talk about those in a little while if you like, and what they're actually doing. So that's down, healthcare's down 11.88%. And consumer staples is down over 8. Utilities is down around 5. And Infotech is down around 3.82%. So why our market hasn't been performing, and as I was saying before, is where financials and materials drive our market. Financials is down 2.82%, when materials up 2.49%. So that's why is explaining our market is not really going anywhere. It's not bearish, but it's not bullish either. And I suspect when the Iran-US conflict ceases and they open the Straits of Hormuz, it's probably going to be 1 to 2 month opportunity window for investors to get themselves set for the bull run, because obviously productivity and all that sort of stuff doesn't sort itself out that quickly, and getting energy prices and energy flowing again. So to me, we've got a little bit of time to get in and get some of those opportunities. But you know, to me, some of the standout performers, Woodside, like that's flying this year. It's up 33%, Santos up 31%, BHP up 31%, Rio up 25%, and QBE's up 21%, and South 32%. You know, we're talking, there's materials and energy there. You know, South 32% is up over 20%. And it's, you know, there's probably about 16 stocks are up over 10% this year. In the last, even Telstra, you know, normal one of the plotters, it's up 10.99%. So to me, there's a whole lot of good stuff happening there. If you're in those companies, it would be doing very, very well. But you know, on the flip side, there's been quite a few companies that have been, yeah, and just top 100 companies have been heavily hit, like Cochlear, CSL, Life360, A2Milk. There's a few of those as well. But right now, investors should be very, can I say, selective in their purchases, and not just broadly looking at the market, looking at what's going to be coming out of this sort of uncertainty that we're seeing, and taking advantage of that. And I think, you know, energy stocks are still going to keep going. Materials are still going to keep going. But I'd also look at financials as well, and possibly consumer staples. I'd be looking at that as well for opportunities coming up.
Dave, you've name-checked a few companies there, and I also love that term, plotter. I never want to be described as a plotter. So poor Telstra. But one company that you mentioned that I definitely like to dive into a bit more, that's had a bit of a shocker to start the year, to say the least, is CSL. I think a lot of people will perhaps hold CSL who are listening and have seen their share price dive by something like 40% or something like that year to date so far. So pretty substantial. So what's going on? What's kind of driven this big downturn?
Look, there's a lot of things that have been driving the downturn. Obviously, CSL is very much into vaccines. And so since with this COVID, I won't say kerfuffle, but you know, all the speculation around COVIDs and vaccine, there's been a lot of people not going to vaccines in the US and obviously Australia and around the world. So they're being a vaccine manufacturer, their revenues are down. So profit and revenue downgrades, and they've had repeated ones of those. But you know, we've also seen the resignation of their CEO, Paul McKenzie, you know, as I said. But there's also things like as an acquisition overhang, they had a $5 billion write-down related to Vifor Pharma acquisition, you know. But to me, it's eventually the S hits the fan and everything washes out, if I can say it that way. And the company's down 40%. But CSL was already going down has been going down for quite some time. Mm. And to me, it's now, if you're looking at 100, let's say a stock was going to have of 100% of a fall, I'm not saying falling 100%, but of all the fall that was going to have, it's probably fallen at least 90% of what it was going to fall. And so at the moment, we're talking about a stock that's gone from over $200 to one that's down around $100. So it's really down fairly heavily. And to me, it's getting to these real levels where we should be getting interested in it, because its all-time high was way back in February 2020. So this thing's been falling for 6 years, not more recently. And a lot of investors held on to it for quite some time because it was sort of going sideways and down, but not really dropping. So to me, now's the time to start looking at it. And there's the old Buffett saying, buy and doom, sell and boom. And CSL is firmly on my watch list and has been since about October last year. I was waiting for it to stop falling, which I would expect it will happen fairly soon.
Oh, well, I'm sure there'll be some very happy people to hear that if that does pan out. So we'll have to wait and see. I know I've been watching it myself very closely, not suggesting I necessarily hold it, but I've definitely seen those falls up close. Dale, let's kind of pivot towards a bit more of the future now, and you know, as much as we can, look at the road ahead. So you know, uncertainty has been a feature of our conversation so far. So I think that's a little bit of given, but what do you think, I guess, you know, everyday Australian investors should be thinking about right now and in terms of the months ahead, beyond the points that you've already made?
Investors make lots of mistakes, and I'll probably reiterate what I said earlier. The difference between somebody who makes money consistently and somebody who doesn't is behavior. It's pretty much as simple as that. It's our behavior determines whether we make a little bit of money or we make a lot of money. So one of the biggest mistakes investors make is assuming the market should behave the way they think it should behave, or the same way that the headlines are making it sound like. If you watch the news nowadays, it's all doom and gloom, et cetera. And I was saying to somebody only yesterday, I don't watch the news because it just plays with your head. And it makes you make emotional decisions on the market, and we see knee-jerk reactions. And so for most investors, the damage occurs through them doing overreaction. So for example, you know, CSL or Cochlear has fallen heavily. So some of them jump in trying to bottom pick only for it to fall further. So all that, the hesitation and hesitation in they don't sell when they should be selling, and they're going, oh no, I'm not going to sell. But mostly because it's a lack of process. So it's not the market. It's the reason why people aren't making money. It's their behavior that's causing them to not make money. And I can go in a lot of depth on that, you know, but it's probably, I want to sort of keep it a bit high level, but at the moment, people need to look at the market in the opposite way is what their emotions are saying. A lot of people are, as I said, very cautious of the market right now. There's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines, and a lot of people are fearful because of uncertainty. But I guarantee you, when this Iran-US conflict ends, we'll have 1 month to really get our head together, understand it, and start buying in and getting in. And the hardest decision these investors will make is to buy some really good stocks that look really bad. And this is also the opposite at the end of a bull run. When you have a bull run like we had prior to the GFC, the hardest thing investors will do is sell great stocks that they're making money on before the crash happens. And so, but right now is where a lot of money is going to be made in our stock market. And people need to, as I said, have a bit of a process and understand how to buy and how to sell, because you can't buy yesterday's returns, but you can't buy the market. So that's what I was saying a bit earlier, is they need to be focusing on the stocks they own and make a decision. Am I holding? Am I selling? If I've got money sitting on the sidelines, am I buying? And then what can I buy? And to me, it's the top 20 stocks. I was going through them yesterday, and there are some ripper stocks there that are looking like they're starting to turn around and starting, and they might make some money. And again, CSL, your Cochlears, your A2 Milks, your S32s, some of those big stocks as well. And so looking at those top 20 stocks, there'll be some really nice ones in there to buy to get a good run. But I would also go out to the top 50 for that run. But again, just be patient right now. Don't panic. You know, the dark clouds will go and the sun will come out and the market will go bullish, and I expect to make a new all-time high in the next 6 to 12 months.
Dale, I always love listening to you, and I love your optimism. I think it's great, and it's a, you know, nice kind of refreshing outlook as well, given everything that's kind of been happening in the last few months, and as you said, a lot of the sentiment around. So it's always a pleasure to hear that. Listen, we're going to have to wrap things up today, but as always, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on. So many thanks for your time, and you know, whatever happens in the months to come, we will definitely have you back on the show soon to give us another breakdown and more insights.
Always love being on your podcast, Tom. You're a gentleman, and we get to talk about some really nice stuff. So I look forward to it.
Including a bit of AFL off the air. But listeners, if you came for Dale and I to talk more AFL on the air, just send us an email and we can do that. Anyway, that is it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends of Money will be right back in your podcast feeds next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.